Six, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course ESPN News. Let's get you started as we do every hour with some headlines that you need to know. The 2019-2020 French football season is effectively over after the Prime Minister announced no sporting events will take place until at least September. So while unveiling France's plan to exit confinement, said that all sports must remain prohibited in the coming months. That means that there'll be no League One and League Two return for May and mid-June, and puts further pressure on the UEFA regarding the Champions League. So we'll see what that means moving forward. In a serious note for the Orioles, Trey Mancini, outfielder, has revealed he's recovering from stage 3 colon cancer. Doubts he'll play this season if Major League Baseball returns. The 28-year-old made the announcement in a story he wrote in the Players Tribune, also noting that getting, quote, chemo in the age of COVID-19 is crazy, as he described the added challenges of getting cancer treatments during the coronavirus pandemic. And in some NBA news, or some college basketball news, I should say, five-star point guard Deshaun Nix decommitting from UCLA, signing with the new G League, yet another player taking himself and his game to the G League. He said, quote, "I think it was the right thing for me because it was a family thing and myself thing," he told the LA Times. "Playing in the G League is basically getting me ready for the NBA draft. It's just one step below the NBA league." So at this point, Nix no longer headed to UCLA. Instead, he'll go straight to the G League. He becomes the third player to join the G League from the 2020 class. We'll see what that means for the G League as they continue to move forward. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Don't forget the satisfying crunch of Nature Valley. Crunchy bars can keep your family going, which means more outside fun for you. And with the whole grain oats and real delicious honey, it's real tasty too. Nature Valley oats and honey crunchy bars. We want you guys to give us your way too early Super Bowl predictions. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the way too early Super Bowl prediction fun. If you missed the first hour of today's show, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking. Reimagine what's in your wallet. Capital One, NA member FDIC. We'll get to the concept at this point for the 49ers going to the Super Bowl. Before we do, I want to get a little of your take. Rhett in Houston, who do you have as your way too early Super Bowl prediction?
Jason, man, appreciate you. Great stuff. Thanks.
Thanks.
I'm going old guard versus the new guard. NFC South versus AFC West.
Any particular team from either of those? Those are two stacked divisions. That's a safe bet, but yeah. Two stacked divisions.
Yeah, that's, I know I'm hedging it. But, yeah, I think it's either the Saints or the Bucs. And, you know, like you said, the Chiefs are odds-on favorites. But, you know, anybody that comes out of there is going to be battle-tested.
Oh, thanks for your take on it. I think the AFC West is clearly going to get a couple of playoff teams into it, but it's just hard for me to see anybody other than the Chiefs representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. And the NFC South is in the same boat. I mean, when you start looking across the board at the 49ers and obviously all the favoritism they get, let's not sleep on the fact that the South is still going to give us, the opportunity to at least see the Saints. So let's see what that looks like moving forward for the Saints, the Buccaneers. But still, how do you balance the West? You know, you got the 49ers, you got the Seahawks. So a lot of opportunity there. Want more of your take on your way too early Super Bowl predictions? We'll get some of those coming in, but one of the teams in that conversation is the 49ers. Max and Stephen A. today debated what team in the NFC they think could give the 49ers the biggest challenge of upsetting them in the NFC coming this season.
I'm going to give it to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now, and that's a hard thing for me to do because of my love and respect for Drew Brees. But even though he's got Michael Thomas, I'm just looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'm like, my God, you don't have to worry about a quarterback throwing 30 interceptions this season. Not only, you know, Ronald Jones can still run the football, obviously. You're looking at the wide receivers, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, as a duo. You can make a legitimate argument that they may be the best in the National Football League, or at least top two. And then you've got not one, not two, but three different tight ends in Gronkowski and O.J. Howard and Cameron Brait. So, you know, you talk about short yardage situations. You can throw two to three tight ends on the field. You talking about, you know, your wide outs, guys playing outside the numbers, and Godwin and Evans and what they can bring to the table. You're Tom Brady, your experience, and you're going to neutralize the amount of turnovers that plagued you and inhibited the productivity of your defense, at least in the first half of the season last year. And all of a sudden, all of these things are things that you don't have to worry about, not to mention the fact that, assuming everybody manages to play through this coronavirus situation, you're going to be playing a lot of your games in warm weather, not inclement weather for the most part. All those things, I mean, you're going up against New Orleans, that's going to be in a dome. You'll be in the South, at Atlanta, that's in a dome. You're going against Carolina. The weather's lovely down there. I went to school down that way. I'm telling you right now, I love Carolina weather. All those things you take into consideration, it just seems like everything could potentially work for Tampa Bay in this particular situation. Obviously, they could be beat. San Francisco, you still got to give them an edge. You can't ignore New Orleans, obviously, even in the division. Green Bay, you can't summarily dismiss. Even the Cowboys, who they just drafted combined with what they have, you can't summarily dismiss. But right now, I look at the Bucs as a threat to everybody, including San Francisco right now, because of the collection of weapons that they have available to them. I'm going to give them the edge over Thomas, Kamara, and Breeze in New Orleans.
Bucs are a good pick because they won seven games last year with a quarterback who handed the other team 112 points. So, you know, if you just take that away and reduce that, they're going to win a couple more games, and they look loaded. They even got a tackle they shouldn't have gotten in the draft and all that. But I'm still taking the Saints above the Bucs and anyone else. The Saints, when you look at the draft they just had, I understand why people aren't buzzing about them, because it's not sexy. They're kind of building for the future, planning. They're going to, you know, this guy's going to be a free agent. They can let that guy go. That'll reduce their cap. Now they can plug in this offensive lineman they just drafted. They draft a linebacker in the third round who a lot of people thought was going to go in the first round. They got a tight end who can play, who can really play, who everyone's very high on, who's not even going to have to start right away. Those are not the sexy kind of picks that has everyone going, oh, my God, look at the Saints. But did the Saints really need that? If the question is who's improved more, I'll take the Bucs, sure. But who has the best chance to knock off the Niners? The Saints, maybe they didn't have to improve. Maybe if you just replay last year, they knock off the Niners, you know, like any given Sunday. So recall that the Niners, that Jimmy Garoppolo had to make a great play, and Kittle had to make an even better one on that link up at New Orleans to barely beat them in order to have home field and all that. The Saints were right there last year, and I do think they got better. If you ask me, like, what's the one thing on offense, they could have had a number two receiver who's really a legit top line number two receiver. They got it. They signed Emmanuel Sanders. They did it. To go with, yeah, Michael Thomas, and they have the running back, and they have the quarterback, and now they plugged in on the line, and they plugged in a linebacker, and they have depth at tight end, and they have a coach, and they've been nipping at everyone's heels. The last couple years, they've had real chances. So I think this year, like last year, like the year before, the Saints at this point of the season, or off season, could actually be said to be the favorites to come out of the NFC. Odds on favorites.
So I was kind of back and forth on this one, and I'm going to go to Saints because I believe the Saints have the better chance of getting home field advantage, and I think that's going to be extremely important in the NFC playoffs. Do I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would eventually evolve and the chemistry comes around to where they might be playing the best toward the end of the season? Maybe so, but initially the chemistry that both Drew Brees and Sean Payton have together, and you add that with getting Malcolm Jenkins back on the defensive side of the ball, when you're talking about playing against some of these better tight ends than the George Kittles and now the Rob Gronkowskis in Tampa Bay, adding Emmanuel Sanders to this offense that was extremely Michael Thomas heavy in the pass game, and Alvin Kamara coming back seemingly healthy this year because he wasn't last year. I actually had a conversation with him at the national championship. And so you add all of those things with understanding where Drew Brees will be in his career, I think that that team starts out better. And if you start out better and you have a better regular season record, you get to host playoff games.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. really good point on the 49ers, and it's going to come down to three or four different teams likely, but man, the NFC looks stacked. Don't forget the All In Challenge fundraising initiative continues to offer incredible sports experiences to bid on, and it's all to support organizations providing food to those in need, particularly kids, the elderly, frontline workers. Time is running out. There's a few experiences that close tonight, including a Tom Brady VIP experience at his Tampa Bay home opener, a chance to play golf and have dinner with Peyton Manning in your hometown, or batting lessons from Alex Rodriguez and one of his 2009 World Series trophies. Holy cow. Check them out before they close tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget, there are amazing enter to win opportunities too. So if you look out there and you see that a bunch of the stuff that's for auction might be out of your price range, don't worry. Enter to win is like a raffle. So you can get 10 tickets for 10 bucks. You can get more tickets for even more money. You can get out there and still contribute, have a shot at winning a once in a lifetime experience. And best part, 100% of the money raised benefits organizations providing food to those in need. So if you want to participate or just learn more about how these organizations help, visit allinchallenge.com. Who are you guys all in on making it to the Super Bowl? What's your way too early Super Bowl prediction? Let's take a couple of these real quick. Travis, in Indiana, who do you have as your way too early Super Bowl prediction?
I got the Seahawks and Chiefs. I know the Seahawks had a very Seahawkian draft, as they usually do. But Metcalf's another year older. They address the offensive line. Quentin Dunbar's coming in. So, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They just got better. So I've got Seahawks, Chiefs, and we'll see what happens.
Well, and thanks for your take on it. The Seahawks are always in the conversation because Russell Wilson's so dang good. But you're so right about the Seahawkian draft. I had the chance to work with Mina Kimes on draft night, and her reaction, as always, was stellar. I think the two of us working together shouldn't be allowed on draft night, because between my Raiders misery and her Seahawks misery, it's always an interesting experience, to say the least. Billy in Pennsylvania, what do you got as your Super Bowl prediction?
Yeah, man, I'm going Niners-Chiefs again, man. They both reloaded. The 49ers had a great draft. We replaced two we lost, and Lynch got exactly who he wanted. We traded for Williams. We are stacked and loaded, and I think the Chiefs are going to make the run for it again, man. I'm going Niners-Chiefs.
You know, and I love the take on it. I think those two teams could be the two best teams in the NFL next year, and that feels boring. So maybe we're making it too complicated. But I will say, not getting a lot of love for some of the other teams in the NFC. I don't think it's that clear cut. Aaron in Missouri, what do you got? What's your way too early Super Bowl prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys, Ryan and Zeke Elliott through the playoffs, and then they're going to lose to the Cleveland Browns, who are going to put it all together, and the dog pound's going to go crazy, baby.
Oh, good Lord, Aaron. If the Browns actually win the Super Bowl, that would be amazing, because Cleveland's hosting the NFL draft next year. I just want to go out there and hang out in Cleveland with everybody when they're still high from the Super Bowl win. Because let's face it, like, you thought Kansas City was partying after a Super Bowl. My God, Cleveland. Woo. But I love your take on the Cowboys. I'm surprised we're not getting more Cowboys votes for that, because look, CeeDee Lamb is going to be epic for them, but not just for what he does in production, but for what it changes in the way they're going to defend that offense. Zeke's numbers, I think, are going to go through the roof this year. And it's funny, we're going to be talking about how much production should come from the wide receiver position, but they're going to get production all over that offense. Way too early Super Bowl predictions. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get back to him in just a second. But one of the teams we haven't had any calls for yet are the Houston Texans. Now, let's remember that they've got Deshaun Watson, and obviously, according to Field Yates, they picked up his fifth-year option and the least surprising thing that we could ever imagine for the quarterback position. The question is he going to get better? Is he going to continue to improve? Stephen A. and Max had differing opinions on that today on First Take.
They have Kenny Stills. They acquired Randall Cobb. They still got Will Fuller as well. You picked up Brandon Cooks. We get all of that. And so it's not like he's devoid of weapons. I just have a hard time believing that you're better off without a future Hall of Fame wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, who also happens to be your boy, who went to the same school as you. Both of y'all went to Clemson. I find it very, very difficult to believe that you can lose a weapon like that, who obviously you had a great relationship and a great rapport with, and all of a sudden you're going to be better because of it, when none of those guys come close to measuring up to DeAndre Hopkins. I just have a difficult time believing that. And so for me, that combined with Bill O'Brien, if you alienated DeAndre Hopkins, who the hell are you going to alienate next? I mean, you're going to get along with Brandon Cooks. You're going to get along with Stills or Fuller. You're going to get along with anybody else. Who are you going to get along with? Because it seems to me that's what's really, really dictating some of the decisions that Bill O'Brien has made. And I know, for example, you know, to me, everybody thinks that this might be good. You know, Tunsil is talking about the deal that he negotiated, and props to him because he deserves it. But he had to go up in there without representation to get the deal that he ultimately got, or at least that's what he said, because he did it without an agent. Maybe he had a lawyer with him or whatever. I don't know what the particulars are. But when I see those kind of things transpiring and I hear about those kind of things, consistently you hear about the dealings with Bill O'Brien having such a profound factor on how things turn out. I'm just not excited about the Houston Texans this upcoming season, particularly with Indy having improved and with the Tennessee Titans still in the same division. I'm just not sold on Deshaun Watson having a great season through little fault of his own.
I expect Deshaun Watson to be around the same thing he was last year, but that's because, in fact, he's ascending. Deshaun Watson's getting better and better. And so as he's entering his prime, he's asked to be doing more. He's asked to do more and more, and they took away his best weapon, which will kind of have him running in place. But I don't think he's going to get worse. He had the seventh best QBR in the NFL last year, for what that's worth. It's a pretty good shorthand, you know, thumbnail sketch of a guy, at least as far as one stat is concerned for a quarterback. And that puts him in the top 10, and he has superstar qualities, especially, you know, when it matters most. He's the kind of guy you want with the ball in his hand. Now, I've focused a lot on that trade, on the DeAndre Hopkins trade, in terms of how bad it was, not just to trade him, but like what you got back. David Johnson means you should be getting draft pick compensation, but when you figure it all out, basically, when you do all the kind of canceling of this draft pick for that draft pick and David Johnson plus what they wound up getting, he kind of traded DeAndre Hopkins for a third or fourth round pick, something ridiculous like that. So I focused a lot on that. But right now, I'll focus on what everyone else is focused on. They took a pairing like that, Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, and Bill O'Brien broke it up in their primes? As I said at the time, could you imagine Bill Walsh going into the quarterback's room and there's Joe Montana? He goes, Joe, I'll tell you what. You know, I know you and Jerry Rice have a good thing going, but we had to break it up. Jerry's giving out a lot of money, so we shipped him out of town. That's demoralizing. So I get it, Stephen A. That's going to hurt Deshaun Watson, but I think that will be canceled out by his ascension. You know, he should be really entering his prime now, and it's messed up. We see this happening with Aaron Rodgers throughout a lot of his career. Hey, you're great. Carry the team. Do all these things for us, and we're not going to give you what you really need to put you over the top. So obviously no Super Bowl for the Texans, but I think they'll be a team that wins more than they lose.
You know what? I believe both of you guys are wrong. I think Deshaun Watson's going to be better this year. Now, some of the points you made, Max, are going to lead to my point. I do believe that he's ascending. I also believe that he's a guy that deals with adversity extremely well. He seems to rise to the top when the odds are stacked against him.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. Look, part of this Deshaun Watson conversation is going to have everything to do with Bill O'Brien, right? We keep talking about Bill O'Brien, the GM, Bill O'Brien, the head coach. He's now Bill O'Brien, the Deshaun Watson waster. I mean, that's the title in my mind at this point. You're talking about a quarterback. You just picked up the fifth-year option. You're talking about a quarterback that everybody believes is one of the best in the league. You're talking about the type of quarterback you build your franchise around. And what have the Texans done with that? Nothing. The stars that they've had, what have they gotten out of it? Nothing. This is a Texans team that is not being maximized by Bill O'Brien, and as a result, is not giving Deshaun Watson the opportunity to continue to thrive. Now, that being said, is the Titans' success replicatable? Are the Colts really better? I don't know the answer to either of those. I believe the Titans can still be a good football team, but I don't believe Phillip Rivers makes the Colts better. I think Phillip Rivers makes the Colts worse. So there's opportunity for Deshaun Watson. But when your quarterback is named Deshaun Watson, you should be in the AFC Championship conversation every year, because you have the type of quarterback that doesn't give you a little hope. You have the type of quarterback that gives you an epic amount of hope. When you have that quarterback and you waste it, no matter what happens from Deshaun Watson this year, I won't put it at the feet of Deshaun Watson. I'll put it squarely at the feet of Bill O'Brien and ask when he will be accountable for what he has not accomplished for the Houston Texans. At some point, the organization should realize that they aren't happy with the results they've gotten, and it's not because of the players. it's because of the coach. We're taking your thoughts. What's your way too early Super Bowl prediction? Just because we want things to get weird. Michael in Kentucky, what do you got?
Cincinnati Bengals against the San Francisco 49ers. Bengals win it 31-14.
You are taking the Bengals to win the Super Bowl because of Joe Burrow?
No, because of Auden Tate, A.J. Green, and Higgins. And I think they got a very deep receiving core, and they got a good running back. They got good running backs. They got a resurged offensive line. Got better defense.
I love the optimism. Look, I love the optimals all day long. And you know what? I've had some party nights I don't remember in Kentucky. I think you and I would have those together at this point, because let me tell you, the Bengals, and look, I love Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is going to be great. Not good. He's going to be great. And I agree with you. They have a ton of offensive weapons, but let's not sit here and pretend like Andy Dalton was suddenly the worst quarterback in history. I mean, for the Bengals to go from first overall pick in the draft to the Super Bowl champions simply by making a couple of additions would imply that they had some players on their team that were such hot garbage it was holding them back. I can't make that leap. No. I mean, I believe the Bengals are going to be better, but I believe we're also underestimating some of the talent that they've had there during the course of their success. The Bengals are going to be a better football team, but man, there's a better chance of a lot of things happening in the world than of any opportunity to give the Bengals winning the Super Bowl. I can't make that leap to Bengals better than the Chiefs. Tune in to The Last Dance, behind the scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. We're finally going to get the peek behind the curtain of Horace Grant. I cannot wait. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're going to take more of your take, more of your way too early Super Bowl predictions. Plus, I'm going to tell you why San Francisco will not repeat as NFC champions. You'll hear it next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you for your way too early Super Bowl predictions. Getting some of your take in on as we go through this. Got some interesting ones that have come through. A lot of different teams. You guys have tweeted me also with a bunch of different teams. I love the optimism. The fact that we had somebody earlier come in and give us the Bengals as Super Bowl winners. I love it. Yannick on Twitter voted Philadelphia Eagles versus Kansas City Chiefs. Getting a lot of Saints versus Chiefs. Getting a lot of Bucks versus Chiefs. A lot of presumption that the Chiefs are going to get back there, and we'll see what that means for the other side. Let's take a little of your take. Jack in Hawaii, what do you got as your take for the Super Bowl? Way too early Super Bowl prediction, Jack.
Hey, Jason, how you doing, bud? I got Bills Cowboys.
Doing great.
It's not outlandish, but, you know, I mean, they both had obviously good drafts. I don't think the Cowboys needed Lamb, but you got to take them there. There's no doubt. I mean, it was the right pick. Little help on defense. And I think last year was more of an anomaly for them. I think they're going to be much better this year. I think McCarthy will work that offense out. And I'm not a Cowboys fan by any stretch. I'm actually a Bills fan. But this would be the third showing. And this time the Bills can catch them finally. Go 1-2 against the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. I like getting...
You're taking Josh Allen to win the Super Bowl.
Why not? Guy just took Joe Burrow, didn't he?
Jack, you're taking Josh Allen.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? You don't think their defense is Super Bowl caliber? With Stephon Diggs?
Oh, I think their defense is certainly Super Bowl caliber. I just wouldn't trust Josh Allen to win a Super Bowl. I love your take on it. Thanks for your take. I think the Bills are a stacked lineup. They're a roster that should get more credit for how good they are. And obviously, Diggs is going to be a great addition. There's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen this year that we haven't seen in the past. How he handles that pressure is going to be truly interesting to me, because when you look across the board at the Bills, they have the talent to win. I don't believe they have a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Like, I think he's an okay quarterback, but accuracy is going to have to continue to get much better. And we understand that it took a step forward last year, but man, I don't love that. I mean, I can't believe in Josh Allen as a Super Bowl winning quarterback out of the game. Daniel in Georgia. Daniel, what do you got as your way too early Super Bowl prediction?
What's going on, y'all? I guess these last two callers make me feel a little bit better, but we'll see what y'all think. I think the Atlanta Falcons have a chance to make the Super Bowl this year, as tough as that division is. And I like Baltimore in the AFC, but with Atlanta in particular, we've got Keanu Neal hopefully coming back healthy. We got a good linebacker in Debo. Kazee's a stud out in the secondary. And I think we did just enough in the draft, you know, pairing Marlon Davidson with Grady Jarrett A.J. Terrell out of Clemson. I think our defense can be good enough. And that offense, man, I mean, I just feel like they can return to form with Matty Ice, Julio, Calvin. If Gurley can be 75% of what he was in the past, I like the Falcons.
That's a big if on Gurley, but I don't hate the take. I mean, the Falcons were so much better the back half of the first season, the last season, I should say, than they were the first half. If you get that version of the Falcons, I'm not sure how much Gurley has left in the tank, but we'll see on that. That's going to be a big part of the question mark. Now, as we ask you guys, don't forget, by the way, tune into The Last Dance. Behind the scenes, look at the 90s Chicago Bulls Dynasty series continues this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Then listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. As I ask you guys for your way too early Super Bowl prediction, part of the reason I ask is because so many people are gravitating towards the San Francisco 49ers. At some point, we have to accept that we continue to be Charlie Brown in this scenario. We're continually running up to the football, going after it, and then being surprised when the football is moved. And what does that have to do with the 49ers? Everything. Because it has to do with defense. See, we fall in love with this concept. The defense travels. The defense is going to continue to move forward year to year. The continual talent is going to shine on the defensive side of the ball. In fact, we fall in love with the concept that consistency is easier to maintain when you have an epic defense. Now, in some ways, statistically, it is. But over the last couple of years, we have recent examples on how consistently great defenses, even if they try to maintain their great defense status, doesn't perform at the highest level back-to-back years. A couple of years ago, weren't we infatuated with the Jacksonville Jaguars? Weren't we infatuated with that defense moving forward, not just for that year, but for years? It was, if they can figure out the quarterback position, everything else is going to be solid on the defensive side of the ball. They are going to be incredible. Now, just a couple of years later, that entire defense has been dismantled. It's been ripped apart. The players are no longer there. The one that is, Yannick Ngakoue, wants out. And part of the reason they fell apart, sure, there were some issues culturally within that locker room. There were some divides behind the scenes. But that defense, for whatever reason, stopped showing up. So you could say, oh, that's just the Jaguars. That means nothing. Well, what about last year? What about last year? The Bears. The Bears' defense was so good that coming into last year, nothing was going to stop them. Coming into last year, nothing can hold them back. Same defensive unit. However, their sacks drop down, their tackles for loss drop down, their quarterback hits drop down, their forced fumbles drop down. Why? Well, we always talk about the ability of coordinators to look at quarterbacks and figure out how to attack them. Well, don't they do the same thing to the other side of the ball? There's another similarity you have to look at between the Jags and the Bears and the 49ers. Both teams had great defenses. All three teams, I should say, had great defenses. But all three teams had question marks at quarterback. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that Jimmy G is the next Blake Bortles. I'm not going to sit here and say Jimmy G is suddenly Mitchell Trubisky. But is it not fair to look at Jimmy G and ask some questions? I'm not trying to take it to a hot take stance. I understand that he was one big throw away from likely winning the Super Bowl. But you could also squarely make the argument that at some point the 49ers decided the best way to win was to manage the game if you were going to give it to Jimmy G. What does that say? It has to mean something. In fact, the 49ers flat out told you that they took a look internally at the concept of Tom Brady. You know, you look at what the 49ers have done, and they've restacked on paper. That's spectacular. But the rest of the NFC has gotten better. Were the 49ers clearly the best team in the NFC last year? No. I mean, you could make the argument week to week that we didn't know who the best team was. You can make the argument week to week that we were coming in trying to figure out, was it going to be the 49ers? At one point, was it Russell Wilson? Was he such an MVP caliber quarterback that he could launch the Seahawks in? And then the Saints, who I continue to say, we look at the Saints and think that they're getting worse, and they're not. See, the 49ers have the one thing we love to move forward. They have a great defense, but they still have question marks at quarterback. And what we're not doing is we're not applying recent evidence to this team. We're not acknowledging the fact that the Cowboys, who presumably had one liability, right? The Cowboys' liability was that their head coach wasn't creative enough. What'd they do? They changed head coaches. Why? Because they wanted to be able to better maximize that weapon. Then they added weapons. as they better maximize their weapons and they add more weapons, doesn't that mean they're going to naturally get better? Of course. You look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They go out and get an epic quarterback. They make themselves better. You look at the Saints. They didn't have to do anything else to make themselves better. One caller earlier mentioned the Falcons. The Falcons feel like they've gone out and they've made themselves better. The Cardinals, within their own division of the NFC West, went out and made themselves better. See, the road has gotten more difficult for the 49ers. The path through the NFC has gotten more difficult for the 49ers. And recent history shows you that as great as a defense can be, it's not foolproof to look at that defense and think that that will continue to be the case for future years. What I see for the 49ers is a great blueprint on how to build a great team for a great year. But what we're forgetting through all of that is the team that wins the Super Bowl doesn't go on to great things. Or sorry, the team that loses the Super Bowl doesn't go on to great things. The team that loses the Super Bowl traditionally goes on to stink. You can look at all of these factors and say they don't apply, but at some point, as much as I say past history doesn't matter, it has to. I'm 42. I'm almost 43 years old. In my lifetime, in my 42, almost 43 years of life, how many teams have come back and won the Super Bowl after they lost the year before? In my entire lifetime, two. You start thinking about that. You start looking back at that. I mean, the road back to the Super Bowl is daunting. Only eight teams in NFL history have returned to the Super Bowl the year after losing the big game. Think about that. The path for the 49ers didn't get easier. The only thing that got easier is our ability to look at it and say, well, you know what? They have a great defense, and that means they're going to win. It's not that simple. When I look at the 49ers, I see a great defense with a great question mark at quarterback. And when I look at what we've seen when that's happened the last couple of years, I see a team that takes a drop off. Look across the league and ask yourself, who's positioned to grow? Who's positioned to get better? Do you put the 49ers on that list? And do you put the 49ers on that list ahead of everybody else? I don't. In an NFC that's a gauntlet, if you're telling me I can take the 49ers or the rest of the field, I'll take the rest of the field and I'll take it all day. We're going to keep taking your take on your way too early Super Bowl predictions. You guys can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation for your way too early Super Bowl predictions. Plus, of course, there's still some fallout from The Last Dance. LeBron in the 90s era? Stephen A., not so sure that he'd survive. You'll hear the take from Stephen A. You'll hear it next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of the show today, go check it out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One and a member FDIC. I want to keep taking your take on your way too early Super Bowl prediction. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Before we get back to your take though, First Take had a pretty good debate today on LeBron James and whether or not he would have been the champion that Michael Jordan was if he had played in the Michael Jordan era.
He's a career 27-7-7 performer. I think in that era, he would have averaged a little bit less in points, significantly more in assists, but he also would have struggled his career 73% shooting from the free throw line, shooting 69% from the free throw line this season. I think the free throw line would have been an impediment for him at times, but I think overall, his numbers would have been about the same. LeBron would be a superstar in any era, but the champion that he is, nah. You know, you got to have the ability to lead. And you got to remember that LeBron James is an affable leader. He's the kind of guy that gets along with a lot of dudes. They got a lot of love for him. He's not that maniacal dude in your face where, okay, you got cats that are scared of him. I don't believe in that hardcore era. Remember, LeBron would have done what he does as an individual. Nobody would have stopped that. But his ability to galvanize the troops around him, to be a bunch of rough riders, to handle an era like that, I don't believe that would have been the case. The only time Dwayne Wade would have been that dude. I think anybody else, Kyrie, of course, because Kyrie nasty, period. I mean, that's Isaiah Thomas, different era. I mean, Lord, Kyrie is something special. But I don't believe that LeBron would have enjoyed the same level of success.
There would have been a lot of dudes today who were beasts back then. LeBron would have been a monster in any era he played, going backward Absolutely. Or forward. LeBron is a basketball
As an individual, yes.
supernova, and there is nothing that you're going to do to stop that in any era. You foul him, do whatever you want to do. Like, by the way, they jumped up. LeBron's taken a lot of abuse because of physical phenom, right? Like, Shaq, in a way, took not as much as Shaq, but you jump on him and refs let you get away with a little more because he's so big and fast and all that stuff. LeBron would have been an animal. But I'll tell you this, during the Bulls double three-peats, LeBron gets no chips. I don't care what team he's on and who he's with. Jordan beats him every single time, 100 times out of 100 if Jordan's crewed up. Jordan never lost when he was crewed up, ever.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. The LeBron conversation is so interesting because we continually say Jordan never lost in the finals, and we just don't acknowledge how many times Jordan lost in the conference finals. Like, does that matter? Like, do we not care about playoff losses, or they not all weighted the same? I can't figure out the debate. In the meantime, what's your way too early Super Bowl prediction? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Sky in South Dakota, what do you got as your way too early prediction?
I'm going 49ers, Raiders. But the Raiders have to trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Sky, I love the optimism, but I've said it before. For anyone that doesn't know, if Aaron Rodgers were to be traded today, it would result in a $51 million dead cap hit for the Packers. $51 million. So there is zero chance. Like, there's a better chance that I get a tattoo of my mom's face on my butt cheeks than there are of Aaron Rodgers getting traded. It's just not going to happen right now. It can't happen financially, unfortunately, for everybody that wants that for their favorite team. Not out there. Steve in Missouri, what do you got as your way too early Super Bowl prediction?
Boy, I'm wavering a little bit. I'm a Chiefs fan, but I'm going to pick the Ravens against, and it's their time, the Vikings.
Oh, the Ravens and the Vikings. Okay, I like that take. Look, the Vikings have a lot of talent, and they just haven't been able to put it together. And the Ravens, obviously, you know, this all comes down to how much people believe in sustainability for Lamar Jackson. I personally believe in it. I believe it's there, and I believe it can happen. Travis in Illinois, what do you got as your way too early Super Bowl prediction?
Hey, what's up, Bip? I've got my Titans beating the Cowboys. I got the Cowboys in kind of for the same reason you're on the Browns this year. They got rid of their worst asset and their head coach, and now with arguably a top three, top four draft that they just had, I think they're looking promising. And my Titans, everybody's high on the Chiefs, but people forget we did beat them and had them on the ropes in the AFC Championship game. We didn't have Malcolm Butler, our second best cornerback. We didn't have Jayon Brown, our arguably second best linebacker. We beefed up in the draft at corner. And
Travis, you're right about that with the Titans particularly. Got to cut you off because we got to get rolling. But you're right. I mean, the Titans had a very good draft, obviously. And I think the second round pick, particularly getting Christian Fulton out of LSU, great pick for them. That's going to pay dividends moving forward. So I love the take on it. And this is what we know. We're going to get something unpredictable. It's the NFL. We also know that if Will Cain could call into the show, or if he did call into the show, he would have had the Cowboys in it. I'm pretty sure he has the Cowboys making the Super Bowl just like a lot of you. Will Cain coming up next on The Will Cain Show. Thanks so much for hanging out with First Take, Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz. Have a great day, everybody.